Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, let's open our Bibles again to John 14. I've been on this for a number of weeks now. I think we're getting close to being done here, but we'll see. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Says everybody there? It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I was driving the other day, you know, and saw a decent-sized house, and just the thought came to me, what we're going to be living in heaven. I don't care what you see on TV. You know, you could pick any mansion you would want that looks impressive by today's standards. The streets are paved with gold in heaven. They use gold as pavement. It's not that big a deal to God. Money is not that big a deal to God. God has no problem at all with his children being blessed and having everything and blessed richly. You look in the Old Testament, Abraham was a very, very rich man. So was Isaac, so was Jacob. He has no problem with having all kinds of things, just as long as our focus isn't on that. Because in his sight, it's going to be burned up. That's not important. It's important how we use our resources to help what is important in his sight, which is people. Now think of it. You know, you that are parents in here, if somebody blesses your children, or helps them, or does a nice thing for them, uses their ability to help them, doesn't that warm your heart? Doesn't that bless you? That could bless you. For them to do something for your children could bless you more than if they did it for you. Because you love your children. And so when God's looking down, I mean, he's not concerned with all these things that sometimes we're concerned with. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. But souls will remain forever. Spirits will be here forever. And those are the things that are important. We know God knows what we need, says in another place. He knows what we need. So don't worry about that stuff. He's well able to take care of us. But in verse 2, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Mansions. We're going to be surprised, I think, when we get to heaven. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Just imagine that. We are here on a short journey, but eventually we're going to be with him in his presence. We're in his presence here to a degree, but then face to face. Here we see as through a glass darkly. We don't see everything perfect. Not everything is clear to us. We have finite understanding. But then we're going to see him. And we're going to see ourselves as we really are. This is not us. This is our earth suit. This is what we get around in. You know, you need a space suit if you go out in outer space. Otherwise, you know, you have no oxygen, you die. Well, that's not you. You look at these astronauts and, you know, they got the glassy helmet and, you know, the air pack. That's not them. We know that. Say, that's their suit. Well, this isn't us either. This is our suit we're getting around in here. Without it, we can't get around on the earth. But it's not us. This is not us. The real us is in this inside, and if we could see the real person. See, this isn't created in the image of God, this. Our heart is. Our spirit is created in the image of God. When we see that, get in front of God and look at him, then look at us, then look at him, then look at us and say, "Whoa, that was there all along. That's what, oh, I get what you were trying to say when you were talking about the inner man, and greater is he who is in you." This person on the inside is made in the image of God. Yeah, don't get all caught up. This man is decaying, growing older day by day. You know, we're going to put off this man, but that inner man is growing stronger day by day. Hallelujah. But verse But verse 1, what we've been focusing on, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You know all these things we've been saying thus far. God has prepared a place for us, and the person on the inside is made in the image of God. These things, though it's tempting for all this natural stuff to get our attention and to get our heart troubled, it's not the real deal. It's real, but the spiritual realm existed before the natural realm. God called all this into existence. He's the creator, but he's the one that's not created. The spiritual realm existed, and he called this into existence. He said, light be, and he called the earth into existence, and he created mankind, and he created the animals. This is real. We're not saying this doesn't exist, but there's a higher reality that trumps this. And that will change what we see. If we'll call on that power and the reality that is God and is the spiritual realm, the thing that will exist when all this is gone, when we lay down this suit, will exist and we'll be with him. That is reality, and it trumps this because this will pass away and that existed before this. So when things in this realm don't look so great, we don't does not deny they exist. We don't say, no. No, la, 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 I can't hear, I can't see, nothing, I'm not. No, we don't deny these things exist. We say they exist, but there's a higher power. I know the one that created all this, and he said that he would never leave me nor forsake me. So I choose to look at that. That will calm our hearts. That will calm this mind that's looking, that's geared towards sight and what we can hear and what we can feel and touch. Your emotions and mind can be feeling like they're being turned upside down, saying, what's going to happen? I see this, I hear this, I read this news. What's going on? But if we'll say, wait a minute, this isn't all there is, what I can see and hear and feel. God is here. Has anybody ever seen God with your physical eyes? You know, some people have had a vision of Jesus or whatever, but most of us have not seen him. Yet we believe. He's real. And when we can calm ourselves and say, no, I don't see this turning around in the natural, but God said he's with me, and I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to be on his side. That will calm our hearts. Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, I have a place for you. And where I go, if I'm going to prepare a place, I'll receive you again. Be calm. Be still. It's all right. And I don't care how long you live. Well, I mean, I hear this from people that live longer than me. You're going to be tempted in this area. This doesn't just go away. How you deal with it can go away, but you don't get to a point to where the things of the earth don't ever pull on you. You can be tempted, but you can let it run off you like water off a duck's back. You say, wait a minute, the thought can come, but you can reject it and say, yeah, but God. And then another thought comes, yeah, but God. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today, is that process. You know, last time we were together a couple weeks ago, well, let's read this verse and then we'll say that. But we are talking about that he cares for us, and that's a major part of it. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5, 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Thank you. Let's go up to verse 5. Let's read this. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be clothed, or you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, we're not focusing on this part of it, but notice that. God resists the proud, but he gives grace or ability, unmerited favor to the humble. We don't ever want God to be resisting us. That's not a good position to be in. I mean, you can be going through some things in life, but you don't need God resisting you. I don't think any of us would say that's a good thing. But what God, it does say in the Word that He will resist the proud. And if you look at Jesus' ministry, those are the people that got the most flack from Him. Now, He was walking in love all the time. He didn't unnecessarily say anything to anybody. Everything that came out of His mouth, every action He did was love. But He resisted the people that were proud, that basically thought they didn't need Him. The common people loved Jesus. They received Him gladly. They've been putting up with these high-minded people that taught them stuff and were, you know, arrogant all the time, all these years. And then Jesus came and started calling them out. And they're like, yeah, yeah, I thought that guy was off. I thought he was, yeah, that's wrong. I thought that was off, but they never stood up because they're poor. You know, they think these guys don't know more than them. But Jesus, the common people loved Him. The high-minded people rejected Him and hated Him. We don't want to be in that category ever. And when we're rejecting God, when we're pushing against Him, say, I don't think I need You. I don't think, you know, I can do this. The Bible says God resists us. I don't need Him resisting me. And we can fall into this in our own life. Another place in the Bible says, you know, pride comes before a fall. The best way is just to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need You. I can't do it. Help me. Oh, what does it say then? He gives grace to the humble. When we say, Lord, I can't do it. I need You. That doesn't mean we're weak. That doesn't mean we're backwards. That means we're acknowledging that He's the Creator and He is infinitely greater than us and knows way more than we could ever know. And we're saying, look, You know better than I know how to get out of this situation or how to do this job or how to handle the, you know, my children. Lord, show me how to do it. And it said, the Bible says when we go to Him like that, He's given us grace. He's given us ability. He's saying, you ask for my help, you'll get it. Here you go, buddy. He gives grace to the humble. He gives just favor to us. He gives us ability to do those things. Because why? We're asking Him. We're looking to Him. We're saying, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but You do. Help me. Help me. Like Solomon, he asked for wisdom. He said, this is too big a job for me. Help me. And God said, you didn't ask for all these other things, but I'll give them to you. One of the greatest men that ever walked the earth. Thank God. But verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Notice that. That He may exalt you in due time. There is a due time for everything. If we'll just let Him work things out and walk after His plan, not get out ahead of Him, just humble ourselves under His hand. Let His plan come to fruition. Say, God, I would do it this way, but I don't know what You know. So God, show me what to do. I'm going to walk after You. And if you'll just take step by step by step that way, things will work out. Don't be in a hurry with Him. Don't be in a rush with Him. When we, a lot of times, things that get us upset and get us worried that have to do with the path we're walking, sometimes we think we should be down the road here and we're only here, and we can feel like, yeah, but God, why? Why isn't this happening yet? If we'll just see what we're saying is, God, I know better than You, even though we wouldn't term it like that. Why haven't You done this yet? If we'll just take a step back and say, God, I'm in Your hand. I'm Your child. Lord, this is what I believe You want me to do right now, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face, and I'm not going to be troubled about what's coming down the road. I'm just walking here. Oh, so much better. And He said in due time, He'll exalt you. He'll put you where you need to be in due time. So with all that being said, then in verse 7 He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Now last week, or a couple weeks ago, we focused on the second part of that. Casting all your care on Him, why? Because He cares for you. And we need to get that strong in our hearts. That He cares, and we don't have time to go through all that, but we can, you know, touch on it. That He cares for us with a watchful eye. He looks at us and He knows all the details of our life, and He is there and He cares about us and He loves us. If we'll get that settled, that God is with us, that He's for us, that so many times the trouble that we have is because we think we're thinking about something, we're fretting about it because we're afraid of some consequence. If we'll get it in our hearts that even if X happens, He'll be there. Yeah, but what if He'll be there and He'll be there to help us? Yeah, but then what? I could see this happening and that. He'll be there. And it'll be the same God He is today, and He will help us, and He will be there to walk us through. If we'll get it settled that God, He loves us and He cares for us, and He's not gonna walk out on us. He's not gonna abandon us. He's not gonna say, "Oh, you blew it. Too bad, you messed up." He's a good and merciful God. And nothing we can do can be so bad that God can't get us out of it. If we'll turn toward Him and just come back and say, if we messed up, say, "God, I messed up, I blew it, help me." And He will. And He'll take what looked bad and He'll turn it right around. The thing that we never want to do is start running away from Him and say, "God, I messed it up so bad, You couldn't possibly do anything now," and start walking away. Because that's pride, even though you wouldn't term it like that. What you're saying is, my thing is too much for God to handle. It's not true. He can handle anything. If we'll just say, "God, I blew it. Boy, this looks bad. I don't see how anybody could do anything with this, but here You go. Lord, help me." That's humility. And He says He'll give grace to a person like that. If we'll just get it settled that He's got our back, that He's with us all the time, that no matter what happens, He'll be there. He loves us. That will take care of most of this worry and anxiety. But when you walk through it, when that comes, when the anxiety tries to come and tries to put to grab a hold of you and tries to jerk you around and say, "Yeah, but look at this," what do we do? The first part of it says, casting your care on Him. And we have to do that. That's a part of it. As it's coming towards us, we need to know what to do with it. It's not like we stand there and go, "Well, it's here again. Darn it. I thought everything was going better, but now I feel like this. I feel like this is going to happen and I don't know what to do." Some people think they have no control. "I'm worried. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. This just happens to me." No, that comes to every person, but we can do something about it. We don't have to take it. We don't have to say, "Yeah, that's just the way it is. I guess I'm going to go through this 3 days or 4 days or a week of depression and down. I just have to put it." No, you don't. No, we don't. What are we going to do? What does the Bible say? Cast all of it on Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Cast it off. Don't take it and say, "I don't have a choice," because we do have a choice. The Bible wouldn't tell us to do something that we couldn't do. It says, cast on. Now, let's read this in a few different versions. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7 in the NIV says, "Cast all your," look on your scripture sheet, "cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." In the New Century Version, "Give all your worries to Him." Give how many? All. 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 You've heard me say this before, but you know what that Greek word "all" means? You look it up in the Greek and study it out and just, you know, do a word study on it. It means all. It means everyone. It means everything. Well, you can't do that. That's impossible. No, the Bible says we can do it. It doesn't say it's easy, but it doesn't have a qualification list either. It says all of them. It says we can cast them off, but it says we need to cast it off. It didn't say if they come to you, they'll just magically or automatically go to Him. No, He said you cast it off. He's not doing anything that we can't. He's not telling us to do something that we can't do. And He said He would give us the grace to do it, the ability to do it. All we have to do is determine in our heart, "I'm going to be a doer of that word, and I'm going to do it." And His help is right there to do it. We say, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm casting. I don't care if it's the last thing I do today. I don't care if I have to do it 157 times today. I'm casting it off. And he said he'll be there to help us every time. But we have to cast it off. The devil will tell you, the enemy will tell you, you have no choice. And I'll say this, don't take this the wrong way, but medical science a lot of times will tell you, you have no choice. That's not true. That's not true. We have a choice. We have a choice. We can cast it off. 1 Peter 5:7, the Living Bible says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. 1 Peter 5:7, the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Look at that. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. Make up your mind, he cares for me, that's it. The Bible does not say you won't be tempted to take him back. You will be tempted. And even though you've made the decision, I'm casting that on God, I'm not going to worry about that, the enemy's persistent and he'll come back and say, yeah, but what about it now? 3 days later, yeah, but what? You didn't consider this. This looks worse than it ever looked. What about it? God's still God. God still cares for me. He saw this 3 days ago. He knew this was coming, and he's still God. I believe I'll just cast that off again. And we just keep casting it off and keep doing it and make a lifestyle out of that. 1 Peter 5:7, the Message says, live carefree before God. Do you get a picture of that? And the picture in my mind is just like just a field of like wildflowers up against a mountain, just sun shining, just out running through the field, nothing, no care in the world on your heart. Just I'm completely free before God. Now we know we don't live out there all the time. We live in a different world. Sometimes things look a little bit more pressure packed than that, but that doesn't mean we can't live carefree. It didn't say we wouldn't be tempted and there wouldn't be things in our life that tempt us to take the care. But God said, be carefree. Put it off. Don't take it. Let's look at Psalm, don't turn there, but let's just look at Psalm 55:22 on your scripture sheet. It says, cast your burden on the Lord. And he will what? He shall sustain you. See, so many times we're hearing these thoughts that you're not going to make it. You're going down. You're not going to do it this time. And God came through for you in the past, or he did this over here and over here, but this isn't changing. He's not coming through here. Those are lies. But if we take them and say, yeah, you're right. I don't know what I'm going to do. That weight just starts pushing down on us. But what the Bible says, if we'll cast that burden, cast it off, throw it off onto him and say, I'm not taking this. He says the Lord will sustain us. Could he sustain us through just unthinkable odds? All things are possible to him. All things are possible to him who believes, and all things are possible for God. Where man says something's impossible, God says it's possible. That's why we cannot look just, thank God for doctors. Thank God for people that have expertise in certain areas. But when medical science says this is impossible, what they should say is, we don't know how to fix this. Because that's changing all the time, isn't it? 10 years ago, the things that were possible are not the same today. 100 years ago, people would have said certain things are impossible today. They wouldn't even flinch, right? What we should say is, we don't know how to fix this. To our knowledge, we don't know. But that's not the same thing as saying this is impossible, because God knows. Things that are impossible to man, I don't know. We don't know how to fix it. He knows. He knows how to fix it. He wouldn't blink an eye. He said, I know the answer to that. Impossible? No, you just do this and this and this. No problem. You know, like a first grader coming, talking to his older brother or sister who's in, you know, college, saying, this looks impossible to me. Or a third, fourth grader that started to do addition, multiplication, they take a look at a calculus problem and say, no way. Can't do that. What is that? You've been training, and you say, oh, no, you just do this and this and this. It's done. There you go. See? See how I did that? They may not get it, but they say, okay. Okay, I guess it can be done. And what? We can see that in the natural. Somebody with more training can see how to solve a problem, and more training can see how to solve a problem that looks impossible to somebody else. Well, God, He knows more than any of us. And He knows how to fix every one of us. Man, somebody may walk away from you shaking their hand going, you're impossible. There is no way. We don't see how to fix you. You're messed up, buddy. And God says, that's no problem. I know how to fix that. I know what to do. You just come and look to me. I'll fix you. And that's what He says to all of us. Sometimes we don't see what to do in our own life. But He does. And so it's not going to do any good for us to sit there and worry about it when we can't figure it out. The best thing is to come to Him and say, Lord, You know. I'm casting on You. You take it. You take this pack that I've been carrying. I'm going to dump it onto You. You take it. Now I'm going to live carefree. That's my job. I didn't say irresponsibly. There's a difference. And some people make it equivalent that if you're carefree, if you're not worried about something, that you must not be responsible. No, there's two different things. I'm going to do what I can do, but if I can't do anything about it, being depressed isn't going to help anybody. That's going to make things worse. If I can't do anything about it, I might as well enjoy it and cast it on to God and let Him do what He can do. And go up, because I'll see things, I'll be clear-headed, I'll see answers then that I probably would have missed if I got my head down like this, or if I'm not paying attention. I'll make everybody else around me miserable, and it's not doing a thing in the world, it's just making things worse. He said to cast it off. Now that's not always easy, but He said to cast it off. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now look at what he's saying. He's praying. First of all, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. There is more to what we're going through as a child of God than just natural. There is an enemy. There is a world system that's going to try to push you. It will try to push you off. We'll try to get you worried. But it says the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are those strongholds? They're things that have been built up in our minds that are lies. And all of us have that to some degree, whether it was put into us by our parents, by different things we learned at growing up, maybe all kinds of places through TV or writings or movies or whatever. There are things that we look at the world that are incorrect, that have been built, and they could have been built over time to where they're strong. This is the way we view things, but they're lies. But what the Word says is that God, these weapons that we have are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling those down, for changing the way we think. When we've gone down a rut over and over, event A happens in our life and we feel this way, and then consequently we act this way, we think this way, we get stressed out, and then we see it again, this happens, so we respond this way, so we feel this way, so we respond. And we see that over and over. Why do we do that? Because we have a certain way of thinking and processing what's happening. We need to change that to where we process it and look at it the way God sees it. And how do we do that? Through the Word of God, through His help. Because most of us, you can get, people can try to help you in certain ways, but God knows the absolute core answer. He knows how those strongholds got built. He knows how every brick got put in over time. He was there every day. Somebody, some lie got into your mind. When you were 3 years old and something happened, and something got put in there. And when you were five, this happened and something cemented that. And then you tried, you were thinking a different way, but something happened again and it put another block in there. To where over and over these things happen to where you just think the world is a certain way and where's God in this and I don't know and this is the way I think, and somebody tries to come in or the Word tries to come in, you say, I know. What do we have to do? Look to Him, say, God, this is happening. How, I don't know how to change it, but You do. He knows how to bust that thing apart, to break it apart, to be completely change it to where it's removed, to where you can think clearly and think the way He wants you to think. So it says in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice that. There are many things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. Now, you read, you hear, you see all over in this world things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and say, flat out, God doesn't exist. And if He does, He's this way. And God will get you if you act this way. Those are all things that are exalting themselves against the true knowledge of God and against what the Word teaches. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And this is how we resist. You say, I can't do that. I can't control every thought. Yeah, we can. Yes, we can. If we go down the path and say, I can't do it, who are we? What are we siding in with? We're siding against God. God says, do this, you can do it, I'll give you the grace to do it, and we say, I can't do it, it can't be done. We just sided against Him. What is that? We just read it earlier. It's pride. It's pride. It's saying, God tells us to do something, our response ought to be, yes, I can. Yes, sir, I can do it. I don't see how I can do it, but I can do it. And I will do it with Your strength and Your grace. If we say, I can't, we've lost already. Now when those thoughts come in and things come in, we just yield to them. Why? Because we think we have no choice. We have to be like this. And the world's telling us all the time, this is the way you're wired. You have to be like this. That contradicts the Word of God. That may not be politically correct, but it completely contradicts the free will and freedom that we've been given as human beings. You are not predisposed to do something. You have a choice. Otherwise, God is unjust. We all have choices. We may not want to do certain things, and we may yield to our mind or to our flesh, and if we've yielded over and over and over, it becomes a rut so that when something happens, we give into this. And it's easy. And so it's not so easy to break out. If you worry about everything, every time something happens, you're worried that the worst case is going to happen. And you've done that for 20 years, that's a stronghold. And so it's easy when something happens to worry about it. But God knows how, if we get knowledge of the Word, that wait a minute, God's with me all the time. Wait a minute, He'll be there. He said He'd protect me. Now, something happens or some circumstance is coming up and you're tempted to worry right there. What are we going to do? At that point, you have to cast that down and say, wait a minute, that's how I used to think. But God, and I am tempted to worry about that, but God, help me. I know I don't need to worry about that. You're my strength. Lord, help me right now. You said I could do it, so I know I can. Lord, I say I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to focus on God, and He will help you right there to go in the right direction. But then 15 seconds later, you have the same thought. And you say, oh, but I thought I was done with that. I don't want to worry about that. You have a choice. You can either say, I guess I can't do it. Or you can say, I don't care. I am still not going to worry about that. God is still faithful and He's still good. And Lord, I'm going to praise You regardless. And then 20 seconds later, the same thing happens. See, we have a choice. At the beginning, you might have to do it tens or hundreds of times in a day. But eventually, that will become your pattern and will displace this pattern and this habit of worrying and taking the care. And that stronghold will be broken up and dissipated and destroyed to where you will not recognize how you thought 5 years ago. We can change. And it's one thought at a time. And nobody said it was easy, but it doesn't have to be the hardest thing ever. It's all about just yielding to Him and looking to Him and saying, God, You said it. I agree with You. I agree with You. And Lord, I'm going to believe right now in the middle of this that You're faithful. And you're tempted to just worry about it, and because that's comfortable to your flesh. That's comfortable to your mind. That's what you've been doing for 20 years. But if we want to have different results, we have to look to Him and depend that, God, You said I could do it, and I don't see how I'm capable of doing it, but You said I could, so I can. Don't even certain Christian, there's teaching that says basically we're all going to mess up, and not saying that we won't mess up, but there's just certain things you can't do anything about. You're going to blow it several times a day, and that's just okay, and just look to God and just trust Him, and His grace is sufficient. That's not so. We have, because you won't take sides against certain things if that's the way you think. It'll come in, you say, ah, this is just what everybody does. This is okay. You won't resist. But when it comes in, if you know that I'm not supposed to have that, I don't have to have that, and that's not going to be part of my thought process, you come against it. When it tries to come in, you say, no, I'm not thinking like that. No, get out of here. No, you cast it off. We get rid of it. We choose to take sides with God instead of against what He has said. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Choose to cast it off. Choose. It's a choice. Our flesh doesn't want to hear this. Our flesh doesn't want to hear that we have a choice to do it. Our flesh would sometimes rather it be that I just can't help it and Jesus loved me anyway. Jesus loves us no matter what. He's not our problem. Yes, He is there, but if we'll keep yielding to the wrong side and put sides or come against Him, He's not our problem. We do have an enemy that'll take advantage of it. And he'll keep us bound and worried and in knots and completely unfruitful. So we need to just pick it up and say, God, You said to cast the care. And we're not talking about in our own strength saying, I'm going to do this. It's saying, God, I don't see how to do this. But You do. Lord, You're faithful. You're strong. And where I see my strength ends, Your strength begins. So right now, I'm going to look to You, God. God, cast this care off. And I'm going to do it 1,000 times a day by Your grace if I have to. And tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing. And the next day, and I am going to side with You because You're true. And You're not a liar. And You said You would help me. And so I'm casting it off. And if I let one through, I'm going to get right back up. I'm not going to say, oh, well, there's no sense now. I messed up. I'm going to get right back up and say, next one, you're going down. Nope. I worried. God, forgive me for worrying. I'm back. I'm clean. Just like I never did anything wrong. Oh, and if you do yield to it, mess up, just say, God, I missed it. Forgive me. And He does. Go on. Don't beat yourself up. We go on, and then we get stronger and stronger to where this way of thinking goes by the wayside. The way of thinking of trusting God gets stronger and stronger, and we just go with Him. Then when He tells us to do something and we see all the things that maybe could go wrong, say, yep, but You said to do it. You already know, so I'm going to put that aside. And Lord, yes, sir, I'm going on. Where we would have just stewed and not, we just would have been, oh, God, You want me to do that, but I see 15 things that could go wrong, so I'm just going to sit here. We change. Thank God. Cast it off. Cast it off, because He cares for us. Amen. Thank You, Lord.